Blog Talk Radio.
Jerry!
how's it going? This is Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How are you? If you want to call and get a reading, please do so. I'd be calling that number. It's called 646-721-9031. And also for a private reading, call us at 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We have an April special for the people listening to the show. And all the callers who call in, it's three 90-minute sessions for only $100, or you can get five 30-minute sessions for $100. So call now. Make an arrangement. Make an appointment. Slots are filling up very quickly, so jump in there before we don't have any more for the rest of the month and into May. You know, one of the situations of wanting to change things in your life should happen very quickly, as soon as possible. Again, if you want to call in tonight, get a reading, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And for private readings, give us a call at 740-500-8863 or go to our website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. April special, three 90-minute sessions for only $100 and five 30-minute sessions for $100. Very reasonable. Plus, if you go to the website, you'll see that for a 90-minute session alone, it's $135. So, you know, it's a heck of a markdown. It's a markdown special. The idea of being able to take advantage of the situation, if you need the 90-minute sessions or you want to get it done in three, see some changes, make some definite changes, or you can actually do the five 30-minute sessions if you're a person who likes to take a little bit slow pace. Either way it works, it gives you a chance to actually get in there and the idea of taking advantage of something maybe you've been wanting to get. Also, if you want to sit here and check us out in person, we also have a shop in Manitou Springs, Colorado at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. That's across from Mushroom Mondays and between Santa Fe and the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. Can't miss them. We're called the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop. There's a big old angel on the door. So therefore, it's kind of like a beacon for you. So check it out. Join us. It's a great experience to get a reading in person. Situations and that kind of stuff. A little variation on prices, but still detailed and still affordable. So therefore, just all you got to do is say yes and then show up. Actually, it's one of the things we like to do a lot of. You know, readings in person. Let's see. We do relationship counseling, life coaching. We work with children who have special gifts. We also work with adults, too, who have special gifts. And the idea of getting to know those gifts better, how they can work for you and that kind of stuff, and find the strength. We need each one of those things. Like, say you're empathic and you're tired of being overwhelmed, we can actually show you how to find the strength within that ability that can actually give you insights before you even go into a situation. So you feel like you are going in empowered with the information you need. And it's just one of those situations of actually learning how to use your abilities. So give us a call or contact us. And then start making a change in your life. Let us, from what we've attained over the years, have you attained maybe three sessions or five sessions or however fast you learn. I was also checking out this book called Dr. Wayne Dreyer, Being in Balance, the 9 Principles for Creating Habits to Match Your Desires. It's one of those good books. Has a lot of good things in it. You should give it an. You should definitely check it out. It's a little small book by Dr. Wayne W. Dreyer called Being in Balance, 9 Principles for Creating Habits to Match Your Desires. And it's one of those books where it's one of those books you can't walk away from the ideal. of not being enlightened and having some major realizations. Even some of the things they put in here. For example, this one here. An infinity of forces lie dormant within the dreams of one acorn. That's the idea of balancing your dreams with your habits. Okay, so it's the idea of how do you obtain your dreams. More likely it's the ideal. First you have to determine what those dreams are. Let's see, here's another little phrase. It says, the greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn. The bird sleeps in the egg. And in the highest vision of the soul, a walking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of realities. So when you look at the situation, it's talking about all those great achievements that you want to accomplish. First started in the time of a dream or a thought, everything. Even when you listen to people when they're in process focusing and they've manifested something in their lives, they'll tell you it started off as a vision. A vision is a thought. Okay, and a thought came from a dream that came to you, which could have been possibly through intuition. And now it's the idea of looking at the situation with action to bring it into visible form. True imagination is not fanciful daydreaming. It is the fire from heaven. That's from Ernest Holmes. The first one was from James Allen. Now, when you sit here and look at the situation, one of the huge imbalances in life is the disparting between your daily existence with its routines and habits and the dreams you have deep within yourself of some extraordinary satisfying way of living. And when you look at the situation, we all have those visions in our minds of how we think our life should be. And the situation of changing your habits to match everything else that goes along with it, to have your habits match your desires, would put you in a state of a situation where you can actually acquire and manifest things at will. When we focus on negative things, more likely we're actually feeding into the situation of complaining because things didn't happen that actually contribute to the ideal of the way we think our life should live. So those are also visions, too, of those infractions that have happened that actually can be used in your advantage of actually stopping at that moment, realizing what you just said, and have the realization that you can accomplish it. As long as you're willing to let go of the old and favor the new, which means the ideal is stop complaining about all those crazy things that happen, the situations, the people, and that kind of stuff. They don't exist anymore. So why give them energy so they can continue to exist? It's almost like looking at a woman or a guy who was in a relationship who complains about a certain person who's no longer in their lives. They don't realize at that moment that those people who are no longer a part of their lives, with hanging on to those thoughts and those memories and situations, they're still in control of your life. They're still in control of you. So they sit and take a situation of a controlling man or a controlling woman. They must have really instilled something within you because basically it's exactly what they're still doing and they're no longer physically a part of your life. So see, all those things and all those situations, if we change the whole format and start saying, let's take a look at myself and look at all the positive traits in myself, that might actually answer a question for you, why the person did what they did. If they left you, it's because they couldn't deal with the reflection. So we look at the situation, what kind of reflection was that? How awesome are you? That's what we should look at. Not what's wrong with me, but gosh, I must have been a really intimidating person because a person couldn't see me for who I was, who Who am I? Maybe you should sit and look at the situation and ask yourself, have you completely accepted yourself for who you are at this moment? Because somebody saw it, and they felt threatened by it, and they did what they did. So the next time you get into a relationship, ask yourself, how much do you focus on the negative? You go into the relationship, you're loving and caring. Some people call this the honeymoon phase. And everything's cochy-pokey. Then all of a sudden you start noticing certain things you don't like. You're not supposed to complain about them. You're supposed to look at the person that you're with that have those kind of traits and see how it reflects back at you about yourself. Then you might realize the reason it irritates you in some sense of the word for the truth of it is because you have those traits within yourself that you have not been willing to confront until this moment. This also gives us an impression. If you're looking for signs, is this the person for me? Who cares? Look at the reflection and ask yourself, are you the person for him or for her? If you come to the conclusion, yes, I am, because I can see and accept myself for who I am, and who wouldn't want to be with me, then you just answer the question for you. You answer the question for yourself. Of course that person loves and cares about you. Maybe you're starting to look at the situation and go, that's why he's running away from me. He's not ready to allow himself to be as awesome as I am. That's not a self-centered thing. When you come to the point in the situation and say, hey, and when you accept yourself, you can see these things very clearly. We say like attracts like, but you have to like yourself before you find someone else who's going to like you too. So the like attracts like. Well, we have that one situation where we're talking about the idea of taking your sign, since people like to focus so much on the freaking astrology, and the situation of a Taurus. They don't want to sit there and really go into the depth of the whole thing about astrology itself. They like to focus on certain signs, that kind of stuff. Not realizing in some sense, or I think your moon and your rising sign have more influence over you than your sun sign does, but people want to focus on the sun sign. Okay, if you want to focus on the sun sign, let's do it in a nice, productive, positive way. But checking your little butt down there, get you a book, finding the positive traits. Every book I've ever seen has a, when they first start the chapters with the books, they give you a list of the traits, the good ones, the not so good ones, whichever way you want to look at it. They give you the negative and the positive. But it's also like looking at the negative and positive and realizing the ideal of a vortex, of the yin and the yang. The positive and the negative actually work off each other to create balance within yourself. If you focus on one more than the other, you create an imbalance. So if you focus on all the freaking negative traits, then you create an imbalance within your life and your relationship that reflects just that, that imbalance and that focus. So if you keep focusing on the bad traits in somebody, you have a tendency to keep focusing opportunities and situations where those negative traits are going to be at the forefront. Okay? Driving you crazy. So once you step back and take a look at the situation and start focusing on the traits that actually brought you together in love, okay, and how your astrology sign can help you with that is the idea of taking the situation, finding a book, look at the positive traits, look at the list of the positive traits, study that. Be that. And do it for a week. Just study the positive traits. Just keep studying them, going over those things, that kind of stuff, and be those traits. People have no problem being the positive ones. And after a week, focus on the negative traits. But since you focus on the positive traits, you can see that you're a fantastic, awesome person. So it should be no problem at all to take those negative traits and turn them into positive traits. And then you'll see that you'll see how it works and how they both work off each other. Same thing with giving and receiving. See, it's also perception too as well. Those negative traits, are they really negative traits? Are just different descriptions of certain things that you would be doing like as a Taurus or Virgo. That's the thing. Are they really negative and positive? Are they just two sides of a coin? But if you took one side of the coin away, you'd only have half a coin. You know, when was the last time you've seen somebody who had a half a coin? No big deal. Doesn't happen. They learn to accept the heads and the tails. They take that coin and don't even think about it. You should do the same thing. Look at the idea. You're positive and not so positive traits. The idea, what are they? Look at both sides of you. Try to get balance in your life, right? So you have a positive one. When you're in the state of love and positive, as we call it, the positive traits, right? You're more likely focusing on spirit and love. When you focus on the other traits, they probably reflect more of the earthly side of you. So you can see how why it's so important to have the positive and the negative working together to create a powerful force. It takes them both. Same thing with their situation and relationships. I guarantee being with someone is a whole lot more powerful than not. It's just the ideal, finding the traits. Too many people out there are sitting there focusing and going, you know, he did this, he did that. Why don't you try to focus on, in that situation, if you're still together, how can you change it? Because if you're going to focus on the negative traits all the time, you're going to get a negative, lousy relationship. Because it must be what you want. That's what you're used to. That's what you want to do, okay? When you sit and look at that situation, you can see. And then go look at the situation and see what happens if you start focusing on nothing but the positive traits. Like Dr. Wayne Dreyer says, you probably will change your relationship in a matter of minutes because you just change your perception. You do want a positive relationship, so therefore you're focusing on the positive traits to actually create that positive relationship. And the other side of the whole thing, just things that you don't like that you should be learning about yourself that might be traits that you haven't confronted yet. As simple as that. So you can see that the situation would be so simple. Life could be so simple and easy. For some reason, we chose to focus on the negative part of life. And we keep focusing. And we keep attracting and creating that negative life. So when you look at that side of it, you can simply change things so quickly by focusing on the positive side to create a positive relationship in life. So which one sounds more appealing to you? Because realistically, we look at the situation of a person's bad traits or negative traits, as you want to call them. Is it really your responsibility to change those in the situation or even expect someone to change them? Because you can't deal with them, more likely what is going on and the way you want to change somebody else is because you're not willing to learn from the reflections of how those traits are reflecting back at you about things you need to confront and probably things you need to learn about yourself. So instead of doing that, you have a tendency to push a person away. Which is kind of crazy with some people and the idea of wanting to deal with relationship issues, you have to be in a relationship in order to do that. You've chosen to be in one with somebody, and now you're pushing them away. And all you're doing is denying yourself. It's the same thing, too, with the situation of manifestation. Manifesting anything, even relationships, is the same energy. Everybody seems to be gangbusters about everything in their lives. I've seen this before over and over again, where they can accomplish anything. But if you throw a relationship at them, they freak. And for some reason, they start contemplating on how they can do it. They always seem to do it from a different perspective. So what you need when you get the card, it says you need to change your perception on how you go into the situation. It might tell you that you need to go back. Before you acquired the fears that told you otherwise, to correct an imbalance in that thinking, that you always had it right in the process of going into these relationships, but you allow the emotions to control you and to dictate exactly what you should do when you should have been a little bit impartial and said, no, what do I want? What do I need? What do I desire? not feeding into the fear at all, and say, I choose to love, and just love. You could actually walk away from a relationship in the process of loving someone too as well. It's the idea of looking at a situation and saying, don't work. Because the other person, you know, it's one of the situations, like attracts like, of course, but we also have this thing called free will. The only difference in the other things that we manifest is that we're probably not going to get an argument from our career. Once we choose a career and we do it, your career is not going to change its mind, that won't be a part of you. When you manifest a car, the car is not going to change its mind and leave you standing stranded somewhere saying, I don't want to be your car no more. That's the only difference. It's the same energy, same manifestation. It's no difference in manifesting any of these things, even relationships. You use the same energy. You use the same love. It's usually something you're very passionate and very prompted to do. But at the same time, the love that you put out there is the idea is going to net you the greatest of results on how it's going to turn out. Same thing with relationships. So the idea of focusing on people's negative traits is not going to change anything. It's going to make things worse. Because first and foremost, it's not your job to be your boyfriend or your girlfriend's therapist. Say, well, you have some issues. You need to take care of those. In the context of being asked, do I have a problem? In the context of having a relationship between two people, then you can give them the answer. Then you can worry about the situation. Have a discussion about it because someone's asking you. It's like I was talking about before the night. It's in the process of people, well, I think I should give this guy space. Why? Because he acts like it. I think that in the situation, right then and there, I think you should know what's going on because you're in love with somebody. And that love and that connection, that bond should tell you, give you all the answers. But when a person sitter assumes, first and foremost, they're not listening to themselves. They're not listening to their intuition, and they're not listening to that bond and connection that tells them everything. They're going by actions. Because they're just sitting there saying, well, I think this person wants me to give them space. But they don't really know. And I always say, in the situation of doing counseling, in relationship readings and stuff with people, I tell them flat out, you never give someone space unless they ask you to. Because that's what we call communication. You communicate to each other and that kind of thing on what you want, don't want, how you do, how you feel, because it's what you guys manifest each other, manifested each other anyway. You came to a point in your life in the process of living your life. I'll stress that one too, living your life. You didn't stop when you met that person. You were in the midst of living your life and this person entered your life. But where you stopped and pondered within that life that you were still living, you didn't stop the whole freaking thing. You just noticed something with somebody. But you should also look at your life at that moment too, when you actually brought that person into your life. Try to trace it back to the point of intention. Because more likely the intention was, I've come to a point in my life where I'd like to have somebody to share it with. When you sit there and realize that's what it's all about, then you can pretty much see the situation for what it is. Not try to figure it out, but see it for what it is. It should be that simple in the process of meeting the right person. If there's so much stuff going on with the situation, so much complication, and it's just not falling into place, you should look at the situation. There's no synchronicity here. And you're trying to create synchronicity. You're trying to create synchronicity in a situation, in a relationship, that it's not your job. You sit there and look at people in relationships who finishes each other's sentences. They didn't consciously sit down and tell each other how they were going to finish each other's sentences. They just do. When situations fall into place and it's meant to happen, it will happen. It's the idea of learning to listen to your intuition, to see things for what they are, to realize what it is. For example, if you're a person who has a girlfriend, who lives on the opposite side of the town, at the same time you're prompted to go and basically live your career. Live your life, do your thing during the day, but you decide one day you want to go down and see her. And as soon as you make that decision, everything that could happen, happen. But see, what it's telling you is, you don't have bad luck. You don't have good luck. It's called good decision, bad decision. The decision says you're supposed to be in alignment with synchronicity. Okay? To prove a point, you go out after you've had all these infractions, you lose your credit card. You still have some good luck in the situation. That's what I'm saying. I've said this before, too. You see, the person goes, I'm going to go see my girlfriend. But first, let me go have some dinner. So I'm going to go check my bank account. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to sit and make sure I got money. So he makes sure he's got money. And then for some reason, he decides to take a situation and look at his balance again. Now, most people, when they look at their balance, they don't do the normal thing of pushing buttons and stuff. So he forgets. He gets sidetracked for a moment. He thinks that there might not be enough time to do what he's got to do, so he starts hurrying. Okay, so here he is again, in pursuit. Not the law of attraction. With attraction, will more than likely, if you allow the law of attraction to fall into place, everything would. But here he is manipulating the whole thing. Oh, I have so much time. I got to do this and this and this. He walks off and leaves his card in the machine, goes to Pizza Hut, has a great time. And as he's getting ready to eat, he kind of gets a bad feeling. He doesn't know why, but he ignores it, pushes it to the side, and proceeds to order, finishes his meal, gets to the point where he's going to pay for it. As he goes to pay for it, he realizes he doesn't have his credit card. Now he's got a rock in his stomach, going, what am I going to do? So he realizes that he left his card in the ATM machine. So he goes up to the freaking lady and says that he wants to pay for his pizza, but he left his card in the ATM machine. He wants to go back and get it. She says, no problem. See, good luck right there. Usually I get a little freaked out about that whole thing, but they didn't. Calm, cool. So you see the situation of the person himself. His life is great. Miracles are still happening in his life. Okay? So then he goes down to the ATM machine. Realizes he is a little bit late, so he decides to go to the counter and ask the lady about what happens when you leave your card in the machine, which she informs him, if you leave it in there more than 48 seconds, the machine eats the card. Now he's even freaking out even more. Okay? So he's looking at that situation going, okay, what am I going to do now? So he decides to confront the situation and tell the lady at the Pizza Hut the truth. And that's why I tell people all the time. The truth will definitely put you in a state of mind and situations and miracles will happen. So he actually goes back to the Pizza Hut, tells the waitress that the machine has eaten his ATM card and it's all money he has. And it's the only access he's got to that money. And like I said before, you can tell that a person is blessed and they are living their lives. We can't look at situations of simple infractions as saying we don't have a good life. And a lot of people do. He looks at the situation, tells her this, and she said, it's okay. It's on me. I'll pay for it. And he tries to help her out, tells her that if she ever needs anything, he gives her his card. And then he would like to come back, you know, check it out. She said, don't worry about it. You're good. I got you. You know. Why she did that? Good question. But in the situation of people's gratitude and wanting to just help another man in a situation like that, should we really question it? I don't think so. I think we should just say thank you and move on. So he did. And he tries to catch the bus down to where this girlfriend is at. And every time he tries to do that, it becomes just a chore. Okay? So this is where synchronicity kicks in. Synchronicity is out there. He's telling him the situation is just not meant to happen. He needs to let down his resistance, see the guidance for what it is. And then go up to the bus stop and say, okay, I'm going to go open my shop and work. As soon as he decides to go in the direction of living his life, his career, and how everything else comes to him anyway in the process of synchronicity, making one choice to put himself back in that synchronicity life of his, he only had to wait 5 minutes for the bus. And the bus was right there. And next thing you know, 2 minutes later, you're sitting in his shop. So why was it so easy to get to his shop and all that stuff working together when he wanted to go see someone he really did love, care about? Why was it such a hard situation? We have to look at these things for what they are. This is the ideal. People will talk, ask the question about manifestation. Why couldn't I manifest it? Because it was never meant to be manifested in the first place. It was presenting to you an alternative, but you refused to look at it. In this situation with this person, as soon as they decided to look at the synchronicity part of the whole thing, of what was in his best interest, everything fell into place. When he was trying to go the opposite direction, which was not meant to happen at that time, that's all you need to know. That it's not meant to happen, or it's not meant to happen at all. We don't know. And realistic with that situation either. Is it really any of our business? Or is it our business to look at the ideals of the universe saying, we have a better path for you because you asked for it and you fought it so hard. Now you're sitting there getting it and you're going again, you're going along with the flow. In the process of being in that flow, you receive blessings all around. And what's so funny about it, even the part of these simple infractions that happened to him, it still shows you how those things all had positive outcomes. So he could go out to catch the bus to where he was supposed to be at. No detaining. No distractions. No cops were called. No drama. When he decided to go against his will, or against his intuition, or against the synchronicity and the way angels were pointing things out to him, it was a lot of negative drama. Didn't work out. His senses were kicking in. His solar plexus chakra, the one in power control, which is also connected to your clairsentient ability, the idea of your gut feelings, emotions, and that kind of stuff, was kicking in too. Telling him that he would be nervous in the situation where he's going, and he wasn't really ready for it. But as soon as he went back the other direction and was in his element that he'd worked so hard to get to, he was in his own. His abilities were not kicking in. They were calm, was telling him he was in the right place. A lot of people do that too. I've seen girls do that. Ooh, I have butterflies in my stomach. Well, that's telling you that somebody's not being true, honest, or the situation is just not what it's being presented as. So you really have to take a notice of those situations too as well. Let's sort of take a break for a second and say, hey guys, if you really want to get a reading tonight, please do so. We do full readings on this show. When you ask a question, we give you full answers. We don't just give you generic answers to get you to come back and get a reading with us. We have more faith in ourselves, and we have more faith in you too as well. So we're going to sit there and give you an answer to your question. We're going to sit there and answer it. We're going to give you direction. We're going to give you peace of mind and give you some information to give you a nudge in that direction that you know you should go into. So therefore, call us at 646-721-9031 to get that kind of insight. Because we do readings on this show, just like we do at my shop, like we do on the websites I work for, well, like I do with my private clients. Okay, so when you look at the situation for what it is, that's just what it is. Readings are readings. And we're here to help you. So give us a call, 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. If you're in the chat room, please give us, if you've got a couple questions you'd like to ask and want us to answer them for you, tell if you want to have it down on the air or just do it in private by sending us a little iron box, we'd be glad to do that for you. But we also urge you that we can answer a couple of questions here and there and that kind of stuff in the chat room. But if you really want to get a reading, as in the IGL 101, we urge you to call in. Okay, if you have a situation, that kind of stuff that you would like to touch on a little bit here, but would like to take it in private or just want a private reading, give us a call at 740-500-8863. We'd like to help you out, give you an idea of what we do and insights, that kind of stuff. Go to our website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and you'll see we have all kinds of services. We do parties, too, as well. If you have a charity function, we would love to be there. No charge. Okay? So, therefore, whatever it is, what doesn't matter what kind of charity it is, invite us. We'd love to be there to help you out to reach your goals and the idea of what you're trying to attain, what kind of money you're trying to raise. We'd be glad to do that for you, too. If you want us to advertise or just promote it here on the show, too, as well, just give us a call. 740-500-8863. If you'd like to donate to the show, you like our format, that kind of stuff, and you want to help us keep it going and actually maybe even improve on it, donate to the show. We have a donation button on their website itself at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Pretty simple. You can donate anything you want. Unlike some shows who only allow you to donate $25, we let you donate whatever you want. Even if it's a dollar. I think you can even donate a dollar. I'm pretty sure you can. We don't care. And we do care. We want everybody to be in a situation, a position. If they really want to help somebody, they can. All right? If you're a person that would like to donate to the show but only has cash or that kind of thing too as well, and you'd like to donate to the show, just give us a call at that number, 740-500-8863, or go to psychicxjourneyman@live.com. Let us know and that kind of stuff. We'll make arrangements and that kind of thing, and we'll find you another way of actually donating the money, okay? But it's one of those situations, it's just, like I said before, it's donations. But on the website, we do have prices for our readings and such like that. We don't want you to, we think everything's been priced accordingly of the service and what it's worth. But we also understand that other people have different kind of budgets, situations, or we consider and say a different perception on certain things that are in a situation because of the way you've come to this planet on this reincarnation to confront things and that kind of stuff. Maybe you're not in a situation that most people are, but you still like to get a reading. Go right ahead. Whatever your budget is, whatever you have to work with, just give us a call. If you have a means to pay, but not that much, but you do have something you can budget out, let us know. We'll talk it out. We'll get it done. You know, there's all kinds of ways of sending us money for those readings. The quickest way is PayPal, of course. Or you could actually give me the number. I do have a Square. And we can actually take that and punch the numbers on the card on my little machine here. I have with my Square and take care of it that way too as well. So if you have all major credit cards, PayPal, you have the option of mailing. The only thing we stress on the idea when you mail the money, the reading will not be done until the money's received. We've had some infractions in the past where people have not. So therefore, we'd like to sit there and tell you right up front, if you want to mail it, we don't do the reading until we receive the money. But I guarantee you, as soon as that money's received, you will get a call from us, and you will get your reading. All right, so whatever your budget is, I guarantee we can work with it. All right, so if you want to take advantage of, maybe you have a party coming up, you'd like to have a reader at your party, we can also do that in person. We can do it Skype if you're in the Colorado area. We can do it for you in person. If you're a person that's not, like you're in Washington State, there's a thing called Skype. All you have to do is have a computer on your side. We have a computer on this side. Just set up a table and a chair with a computer just like you would if we were going to be there. And we can do readings like that. And we can even do palm readings, too, as well. The way the camera and the screen lights up, it actually hits the hand just right where we can see the lines and that kind of stuff. If it doesn't work out that way, then people can actually copy them and send them through the email, and I can read them that way too as well. It's all workable. It's all full of those things, but you got to call so we can actually work out the details and that kind of stuff. That could happen. If you're in the Colorado Springs area or any places near Colorado Springs and Manitou Springs, and you want to do a party and that kind of stuff, just give us a call, and we'll get it all arranged, and we'll be there. We also do group readings where it's 5 or 10 of your friends, and you've done that, so that need to go. Let's see, we got those things where we go. If you got 5 or 10 of your friends that would like to do a reading, we guarantee they get between 15 and 20 minute time for themselves, for each person, so they're in this group reading. And we can also do that in person with chairs aligned accordingly. It's like a chair for me, a chair for your friends. We're going to sit there and we're going to do, and specify if it's just going to be readings and that kind of stuff, great. If it's going to be car readings for your friends and that kind of thing, let us know so we can actually bring the cars with us and set things arrange things appropriately, okay? And for the sessions and for the parties and that kind of stuff, it's only $150 flat fee to have us there. We bring everything else and that kind of stuff like that. All we ask for is space, and we do everything else. Let's see. We do email readings. I think it's 5 cards. 5 cards, 3 questions. I think $55, I'm not sure. But either way it goes, if you want to do an email reading too as well, just... contact us, and we'll go over the whole situation with you to tell you exactly what we require, and payment, and you will get your money. I mean, you will get your answers to your questions. I think it's 3 or 5 questions. We give cards too as well. When we do email readings, we will tell you all the cards that were pulled, the meaning of each card, and the final outcome. Let's see. Any kind of reading, too, if it's one of those situations. If you would like to record those, no problem. If you'd like for us to record them for you, there is a slightly higher fee for the parties and group readings and that kind of stuff. Not much variation. But like I said before, it's one of those things when you call, we'll set you work out the details. But if it's one of those things you want to record, we will definitely get it in for you, okay? So there we go. Also, like I said, we have so many readings. We have 75-minute readings, 45-minute readings, and 25-minute readings. And they all go appropriately with the situation. But here on this show, when you call us, all you got to do is mention that you actually listen to the show, and the discounts automatically fall into place. So keep that in mind, too, as well. Let's see. We also have a one-card angel reading. It takes about 15 or 20 minutes. And I think I want to say they're $25. Anyway, we will get it all figured out. So just give us a call and sit down and talk. If you want to actually be, we are looking for what do you call this? We're looking for sponsorship for the show. That's what I meant to say. So if you'd like to sponsor a show and those kind of things, just call me at the 740-500-8863 number, and we will sit down and talk. I'm sure before it's over, if you come up with a great arrangement, it's going to benefit both of us. You'll get additional promotion because we have a tendency to vote people beyond, what's the word? We just give 100%, maybe even more 100%. Just the idea of the appreciation, the idea of things coming through. So give us a call. I also look in the chat room. We got one person. Let's have 10, maybe 20 people in there. And love to hear some. I'd love to have people calling in right now to get a reading, We'd love to do a reading for you. We have an hour left in the show, actually about 58 minutes and 34 seconds. It's 9:01 p.m. Mountain Time here in Colorado, in Manitou Springs, Colorado. And it's April 13th, 2013, and I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman. My friends call me Donnie. And this is my show, Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio. And it was one of those things, we're having a great time in this situation. Saturdays are usually a little more busier than this. I don't know, but we're going to sit here and go along with our 58 minutes anyway and keep talking about situations. Because I was sitting here looking at that Dr. Wayne Dyer's book, and I thought it was very fascinating. Because I think we're all sitting here trying to focus on the idea of how to get balance in our lives. And I think a lot of people are kind of baffled by the idea, how do you balance your life? When you look at the situation in the simple form, it's the idea of looking at situations like giving and receiving. People don't realize that if you don't have balance between giving and receiving, you actually create an imbalance in your life that actually cuts off your prosperity. So we've all been taught that the more you give, the more you receive. When actually it's a cycle, it's the idea of looking at the infinity. It's like, look at the symbol for infinity. It's a figure eight. But when you divide it, it's two circles. The circles represent the ideal of you giving and this other person giving. Okay? When you bring those two together, you create the symbol of infinity with the figure eight. But also what happens is, too, is the love that you're giving each other, it also creates another situation of spontaneously giving. As you're giving to each other, that spiral energy is spiraling in a figure eight, where you see it's not a two-way street in relationships. On all relationships that we have are not two-way streets, are one-way streets. They're continuous. And the figure eight of energy back and forth. In these situations, for the women out there are always wondering, you know, sometimes I still love my ex. Of course you do, because you had that symbol of infinity between that person, of love, because that's how you love unconditionally. Gives you an idea of more depth than the idea. What does it mean to love someone unconditionally? That means you don't do anything but be yourself. In the process of being yourself, you love yourself. You find another person is doing the same thing. In the situation of loving oneself, you do not have walls up. You meet another person the same way, don't have walls up. The figure eight just becomes a spontaneous connection, and then you start spontaneously loving each other. And by giving to each other, all you have to do realistically is being open to receive from the other. That's the whole thing, how simple things can be. Everybody wants to make it complicated. Well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. I'm going to wake you guys up and say, you know something? Nobody has to do nothing. So if you're sitting there looking at this guy and you're going, you know something? You're not loving me enough. Who gives you the right to say that? If you see a lack in somebody else, that they're not doing something, it's reflecting back at you of the lack of love that you have for yourself. So take a look at the situation for what it is. This person is not the problem. Just because they have some issues with themselves, they're reflecting back at you what you should be doing with yourself. If you have a person that you call self-centered, instead of bitching about it, complaining about it, look at the situation. Right now, as you're bitching and complaining, you're focusing on him. The reflection is showing you that he's self-centered, and you're angry because he's focusing on himself. What does it tell you? The reflection tells you right then and there that you need to be focusing on yourself. He's not the problem. He's just reflecting back to you a problem within yourself that you need to take responsibility for. Not him. It's not your job to change anybody. It's not even your job to even suggest that they change. Unless they ask you, is there anything that you feel like I should change? Then you're being asked a question, which is giving you permission to sit there and tell him exactly how you feel. But until that permission happens, it's none of your business of what he thinks about you. It's none of your business of how he feels about you until he tells you. And then it's your business. If you sit and look at the situation, that makes it a lot easier for you. But people sit and go, well, it's not that easy. You just got a strong realization says it is. So why don't you try that? And every time you sit there and say someone hasn't loved you enough today, more than likely it's telling you that you haven't loved yourself enough today. Or you're not focusing on something you should be focusing on, or you've compromised something. Everything happens for a reason. just because you haven't found the reason, it just means you haven't found the reason, but it does exist. And more likely, if you keep looking outwards, you're not going to find it. All these reflections are pointing one way, one direction within you. As we sit here and focus on the meditation, say, I am. I am represents God. In the process of focusing on your heart, or I should say the space behind your heart, which they say this is the connection, your essence, that's connected to spirit, to God. So as you're sitting here focusing on that space, or you can imagine it as a pilot light, whatever works for you in the visualization, but definitely focus on that space behind your heart, not the heart, because that space behind the heart, the essence, the true love, pure love, is what affects the heart. That's what we have. That's why a lot of us focus on that area. It's not the heart, the pumping. The heart is nothing but a pump that actually pumps love. It's the essence behind that. If you look at the situation, do a simple meditation of focusing and say, I am love. You're focusing on the essence within yourself, which connects you to the powerful loving force, God, source, your angels, guides, everything around you. Okay, that's the source. That's a powerful connection. So you're saying, I am God, love. Okay, you're acknowledging yourself as nothing but a pure loving soul, spirit, that's connected to God. Another one, infinite love, true, pure love, essence of the essence of what real love is all about. Okay, so can you actually have love at first sight? Of course you can, called lust and longing. It's when you look within the eyes as a transport to the soul. If you can do that at first sight, then you have definitely can have love at first sight. What most people feel at first sight is the idea of the sight of what they like, what they've been looking for. And at that moment, they actually do like themselves quite a bit. It's only when you tap in and go further as looking at those eyes as tunnels to the soul to connect to real, pure love that a person has either gotten and worked and is on the same page as the person that they're actually looking into their eyes. Then you can have a fantastic relationship, start realizing this is the person you want to be with, might even get married in 2 weeks and be together for the rest of your lives. How can they do that? Whoa, aren't they supposed to get to know each other? Let's get real, guys. And the process of getting to know each other, it's going to be a lifetime commitment. That's what it says. I commit to share my life with you through the bad, through the good, through all the trifle situations, the speed bumps, all the good stuff, and everything goes along with it. Because in all those situations you're talking about, in the process of basically declaring a love and a connection to another person, you're going to be sharing those things together through the changes. So you're going to have a lot of realizations in your life and the idea of what love is all about. Those things are going to change quite a bit. Okay, but realistically, if you keep focusing on those eyes and keep connecting to the soul, you will see that there is no limitations and there are no problems. There is no negative parts that you don't like, just more things to discover about yourself. The more you discover about yourself, the easier it is to connect with that person. The more you learn from the reflections and the idea of connecting each other's souls, the more that you're actually open to the solutions to embrace them, no matter if they make sense or don't make sense. You'll know that every time you've done that, it's always been something better on the other side. How can you lose in that situation? Okay, so therefore, like I said before, go find your sign. Focus on the positive traits. Realizing at this moment you're focusing all the positive things within yourself. You feel good about those. Okay? The one things, as we call negative traits, are just focusing on certain things that you need to confront, deal with, and don't be surprised if you can actually take the negative and turn them into positive. Then you'll start realizing they're just more to you than meets the eye. There's more behind the scenes of all those good traits that actually emphasizes on those good traits. A person can have a fantastic motivational skill of actually looking for solutions and not realizing I'm taking a bad temper and channeling it into that whole thing just makes it more effective at it. So you see, you've taken a temper, that's the most people see as temper and anger as a bad thing, and turn it into a positive trait to actually motivate yourself on the good things that you do. This is the idea of taking the ego and use it as motivation to follow through with the spiritual thing that you've already answered and come up with that you need to do. They work hand in hand. So we've created a balance there. And you just keep going forward and attracting, because the powerful forces there, love itself. You can learn to love everything about you. So if you want to give a call in here, please, and get a private reading. No, so if you want to get a private reading, call me at my private number, 740-500-8863. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. If you want to call in tonight and get a nice reading, give us a call, 646-721-9031. Again, that number to call in tonight to get a reading is 646-721-9031. And we'll answer any questions that you want, anything you want. It's the idea when you go to a reader, you ask anything you want. You can do the same thing on here. It's just that we urge the people that are in the chat room just to ask a couple questions. But if you really want to get a reading, we urge you to come on the show. We're actually here 5 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. 2-hour show, usually going over relationships and that kind of stuff. So if you have questions about anything we've said or anything we've done or anything you've actually listened to in the archives, we'd be glad to go over those things again with you. Heather's not here tonight. She had to take care of some family issues. I am your host, Psychic X Journeyman. This is my show, Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link, talk radio here on Blog Talk Radio. And it's now 9:13 p.m. Mountain Time. It's April 13th, 2013. And we got 46 minutes left in the show. So if you got anything you want to sit there and do, that kind of stuff, or any questions or anything like that, please let us know. The one thing we like to emphasize on the relationship, it's not the idea of anything else of infractions within our own lives. It's just the idea of things that we know that we want to share with everybody else. So you guys can have fantastic, awesome relationships, if not awesome, fantastic lives. Because most people I've talked to have a tendency to have no problem getting all the other parts of their lives successful. They just need to realize that the same energy they did to get those successes within those parts of their lives, you can also do with relationships. It's just the idea, love is love. Love attracts all those things we're trying to manifest, and also manifesting relationships, that also does something. See, one of the huge imbalances in life is the departure between your daily existence with its routines and habits and the dreams you have deep within yourself of some extraordinarily satisfying way of living. And what we mean by that is, it's the ideal that everybody keeps putting themselves in situations what they think they need to do. They have to do. Pay rent, these other things. So what it's saying is, you need to put to the side those things in favor of what you really want to do, and you might actually find out, you might start attracting things into your life that you really want. They could actually make those situations a whole lot easier. So let's go in here, and we have area code 631. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good question.
See, you told me to call with the question, so I figured that one was great.
Okay. Okay, tell me what your name is. I recognize your voice.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Tracy.
Tracy. Yeah, I was just like, whoa. I've carried the first hour and 20 minutes by myself.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I was trying to explain to people about the ideal situations, why it's so important, how easy it is to focus on the heart itself and the idea of what it really is.
It's almost like what you were talking about is like almost how people focus on lack, right? So people focus on lack constantly throughout their life. Even if they don't realize they're doing it, they're focusing on lack. Well, I don't necessarily deserve this, or this is where I've come from, and anyone who has more than this is greedy. So
exactly.
Learning
how... Exactly. Looking at people and saying, well, yeah, I just want people to use people. Not since you use the people, but just look at them. Because I was interested yesterday. I said, if a person is staring you right now in the face, and you're seeing them as an awesome, great, fantastic person, but you're looking at them and being intimidated,
yep.
Then you're not really reading that reflection the right way, because it's reflecting back about you.
Absolutely. And people need to learn that just because somebody has more, has done more, is more accomplished, they are nothing but a reflection of ourselves. And so why not take that good aspect of the reflection and focus it back on us and figure out how to use that to make ourselves that person Oops. That's standing there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah. Because I've actually done the situation, too. It ticks me off. It's like, how do you know this? Because I've been in relationships before where a girl will look at me and say, you're fantastic, you're awesome, and I don't think I could ever do that. And they don't like it when I look back at them and going, if you see me and you say I'm awesome and great, so are you.
Yeah, well, it's hard for people that are not in that vibration to take a compliment as well. So it's maybe more of a case of that than anything else.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we try to get through their heads like you. They're saying, well, maybe I'm on the same vibrational path as you are. If
yeah.
that's the case, then why are you here?
Yeah.
You're close. You're really close. You're beating the hell out of the door. So maybe you should just open the door, accept the opportunity. So sit there, like I was telling my ex-girlfriend this. I said, I can see you and see where I've come from. That motivates me to keep going because I've gotten there, you know, to where I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, well,
but when I look at her,
you know, from someone who's in a negative vibration, that might seem condescending.
That's true, too, but I don't sit there and stop there. I just sit there and look at the situation and say, hey, you know, I can see where I came from. But it also reminds me of some other goals and stuff I have, so it gives me motivation to keep going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're looking at me, and you're seeing where you're going to be at, where you're going. This is your destiny. This is your future. So therefore, if you can see it, it does exist. Your job is just to open up and accept it, to realize you also have a person or mentor who can actually get you there, if not a lover and a best friend, to help you do this situation. If you would just – the hardest thing about the whole thing, they have to sit there and go, yes. Until they say yes. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody. I've had girls ask me, what's Joey think? And what's he going? What's up with him? What's his temptation? Who gives a shit? Until Joey tells you, it's none of your business. And realistically,
yeah.
why would you want to put yourself in that situation anyway?
Yep.
Because you're taking valuable time away from your own life and try to see, because what we do for a living is what we do for a living. So in the process, we take the time when I'm at the shop, I'm on the radio, I'm working with a client. I am living the now. When I'm in those situations, I do that. When I'm with my girlfriend, I do not think about it. I wish I had a girlfriend. But I'm just saying, but when I do, I'm with her.
So can I give you like a really kind of weird sort of outside the box kind of a relationship that I'm in and like sort of tie it into all this? So
I'm going to think about it.
Hold on.
No.
Okay, I won't.
No. Come on, please. That's what we're here all about to hear.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Dr. Wayne Dreyer says one thing we can do. We can hear testimonies and insights and read books and that kind of stuff until we're willing to actually experience these things on a personal level. We're never going to know what they're all about. So
well,
I think with the situation that you're going through, I think it'd be a good example for everybody.
Well,
someone
I appreciate that. And it's a very interesting example, honestly. You know, most would say that I'm kind of spinning my wheels, but I have experienced progress. So when I met my husband, it was a long time ago before I was actually on the path that I'm on now. And he was a very emotional guy, really, really in tune to his emotions, cried with me on the first date, which most girls would have run from screaming, but I loved and embraced.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. With some of the self-help books I've heard, there was this one book out there that it's one of those things you can, I think some people, it would be good for some people to maybe come up with the same perception I did, so they should read it. We'll go that route. But it's basically the name of the book is called, what's this book called? Something about your soulmate is waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the book, and I was trying to get weird. Right off the bat, I was going, you know something? You're actually telling people what they should run away from, when realistically you should be giving them the information so they could figure it out on their own. That's the whole thing. Give them the foundation so they can make proper decisions in situations. Because the very first thing it said in the book was, if you have a person who confesses his love to you on the first date and wants to get married in 2 weeks, you should run like hell. I'm sitting there going, really? I've actually dealt with experiences with relationships who have done just that and been together forever.
Yeah, yeah. And it was almost like that, but not quite. I mean, you know, the first date we had, mm-hmm. he didn't even think it was really a date. He thought he was talking to a friend, which I still find hard to believe. But, you know, we had our first date.
Yeah, me too.
He was not my typical guy as far as looks are concerned, but that didn't bother me. He's a gorgeous man. He's just a little heavyset, so whatever. Who cared? I didn't care. I met him at a mm-hmm. perfect time in my life. Amazing, amazing man. Got to know him very, very well. But he's always been a very negative energy, very negative.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one would say that someone on a positive vibration could not stand to be around someone like that unless they were sort of on the same sort of wavelength. Well, throughout mm-hmm. my time with him, I've raised him up quite a bit, and I've gotten him, without even speaking, to open his mind to a lot of things that are going on in the world, and we are, at this point in time, more one than I could ever have imagined back 7 years ago. So,
cool.
You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you don't just walk away from something like that. There's something that grabs you. There's something that's there. There's a little thing you think is there, like that little spark. Whether or not mm-hmm. it lights up is another story, but I don't think that people should walk away from that little spark, because even if you're a yin and a yang, which we have tattoos of on ourselves, by the way, matching tattoos, mm-hmm. yin and yang, because he's the negative and I'm mm-hmm. the positive. There's definitely an avenue for you guys to, like, bring each other up and, like, coexist very happily. Yeah. And you know, every spiritual advisor you hear will tell you, like, well, if someone's in a negative vibration from you, then you'll just never want to be around them. And I get a negative vibration from my husband all the time, but I still get that positive, too. So what I'm really mm-hmm. basically trying to say is don't walk away from just because you feel a negative right away. Delve deeper into it, because there's some hurt that's there, there's some pain that's there that maybe they need to get through. And once they get through that, it's an ocean of wonderful.
Oh, yeah, because we were starting to talk about before. I was starting to talk about the signs. People focus on their sun signs quite a bit. What I was trying to say was, It's a fine line with the situation of what positive and negative is, when it's actually just who a person is and they're going to exhibit all those traits. And just because we don't like them, or they kind of irritate us, or we don't like them, or like you said before, he's a negative person. But what are you basing that on? That he's a negative person? You're basing it on you've always been a positive person and you always mm-hmm. perceive things in a positive way. Well, he doesn't, because of the way he's been trained.
Yep.
He would probably see the same things that you have as negative, too, as well, because you're irritating, because you're so positive. You see how that works?
Yes, and it does work if you're open-minded enough to make it work. I don't think that anyone who meets someone – well, let me just be honest with you. I'm a Leo. So if I meet a Leo on my birthday, which is very odd, but I've dated quite a – I've dated three people that have been born mm-hmm. on my birthday – and we butt heads like crazy. We're both in the same domain. We both feel the same way. It's been nothing but horrible dating chemistry. However, we're good friends. horrible dating.
Yeah.
Horrible. And then I've really had issues with Scorpios, like horrible issues mm-hmm. with Scorpios, because they're stubborn fucks. And, you know, what are you going to do with that? I mean, they're stubborn as hell. You can't break through. And then, you know, mm-hmm. you get to some other sun signs, but I don't think that you should necessarily concentrate on the sun sign as much as the person, because nobody really knows exactly when they were born, and you don't even know when you meet them. They could have been born, you know, there's no such thing as a cusp, but they could have been born in a transition or whatever, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you sit down, you talk to them, you find common ground. You get to know each other. They compliment you in ways that you lack. You compliment them in ways they lack. And the opposites really do kind of sometimes attract, which is...
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy because...
You're being facetious, but I love you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but yeah, when you sit here and say that opposites attract, I mean, let's think about the situation. A male and a female. It already started off, you already started off as being opposites attract.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot more to you, too. So that you guys are three-dimensional beings, and really most people go by, okay, the surface thing, they're going to go by the whole thing. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, yesterday, about people, lesbians and gays, that the ones I have the problems with is the ones who are pretending to be something. Okay,
yep.
They think they know what a man. They think they know what a man is. I'm sitting there going, guess what? I am a man. And see, I always think that a man or a woman is basically declared by having a confidence with themselves that they don't have to defend. That's what it means to me.
Yes. Yes.
That means they accept themselves for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the reason I have trouble with certain things with the lesbians and gays is the ideal constantly telling me who they are, which makes me believe that they don't really know.
Well,
I think they should explore that more.
Absolutely, and I think that the gays and the lesbians that understand exactly who they are have a much more fluent conversation because they're so based in nature that they're able to talk about whatever, whether
mm-hmm.
it's sexuality or anything else, and just know who they are. So those people maybe need some guidance, and anytime anyone makes an excuse for anyone else, like, or themselves, like, I'm really humble, but, or I'm a very humble person. Like, if they say a characteristic about themselves and then go off on a tangent, it's necessary.
Yeah,
it pretty, you know, it pretty much means that they're not really comfortable in themselves at all.
Well, like I always say, the more you try to convince me, the less I believe you.
Yeah. Because then you're a really bad salesperson.
They said, you're mean. You're not listening. I said, I'm sorry, sweetie, but I can listen without talking. For some reason, you can't. So we'll think
about
that.
And that's the other thing.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. It's your show.
Yeah, but you have the floor there for a minute, so you just go. Because I'm just saying with the situation, the idea, my one thing I would try to teach people in the process of counseling, especially relationship counseling, is the thing that we're looking for here and what your situation is like this, okay? It's people accepting themselves for who they are and not defending and not have to defend that. And the idea of the situation within a relationship, you constantly see all the time, well, he's this and he's that. And I feel like from what I've read and from what I've explored, especially with Dr. Wayne Dyer, a very powerful person, when you look at the situations, what he's saying is the more you focus on the negative traits, the more of a negative relationship you get. More negative situations to actually constitute that too as well, back it up. But he says as soon as you change your mind and start focusing on all the positive traits, which are the things that came to the forefront in the first place that you love, that's why you love this person because of, you know, you can sit here and look at the situation. Of course, he's a spiritual being. Of course, you're going to naturally love each other. But those are the traits that actually let you let down the resistance to being able to love this person completely. And if you look at the negative traits, all they're doing is creating walls to keep from loving that person and to keep from seeing those positive traits of that person who they are. So it's more about self-acceptance. Accept that person, because I've had a women center going, you know. And there's that guys, too. I'm trying to find someone to accept me for who I am. Well, first of all, you got to do it.
You have to accept yourself, right.
Yeah, if you have a person that's sitting there, you have people around you that are pure examples of that because they're always telling everybody else how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're not doing it for themselves. They feel more empowered by telling you, which means they have no power, just the power they have within this confine of telling you what to do, which is more control. It's a control issue. Instead of looking at you and saying, you know something, I do it like this. I don't say anymore that all women are nuts. I say the ones I've dealt with in certain situations, and even those are they're particular women that I've worked with in certain situations. Okay, so I can say that for a fact that they are from what I've experienced with them, but I can't sit here and say that for all women. And I've actually seen other people in situations like yours and other places where it works. But there
well,
are
you're not
places
you're
like
not collectivizing people, which is amazing because that's the most horrible, detrimental thing to our society is collectivism. So, you know, the fact that you can identify like certain people within a group and then segment them as not all, but some or
mm-hmm.
few, or, you know, several,
yeah,
or whatever your experience has been, is
right,
wonderful. Because, you know, how many times have you walked into a place and all women are like this or all women are like that? Or, you know, I've had several situations in my past where I've walked into a bar and I've been, like, dressed however I was dressed. And, you know, I've been with friends who have gone out on the dance floor and grinded with guys and danced and, like, gotten all kind of, like, promiscuous. And then here I am at the bar, like, talking about philosophy with one guy drinking cognac. And, you know, honestly, like, that's what I was there for, is just to speak intelligently. And, you know, I don't want to talk to anyone else who's not looking to do that. And I do. I find those people that want to talk, mm-hmm, intelligently. And so it's not a collective thing. It's more of an insecurity amongst people. And, you know, to weed your way through that stuff is hard. But it doesn't mean that relationships are doomed. It just means that you have to, you know, the one thing I noticed throughout my years here is that, honestly, and it sounds cliche, but when you're really whole and true to yourself, when you're comfortable with yourself and you don't need anything else at all, and you're just, mm-hmm, happy, you meet somebody. And they happen to be a supplement to that,
mm-hmm,
in some way. And then the relationship grows from there. So the whole big thing, when you're not looking, you'll find them. No, yeah, I know, it sounds stupid, but it's true. When you find happiness...
Well, the truth... Right, but the truth is, it's like, maybe we should help them out a little bit more by saying, not the ideal of when you least expect it, the reason you least expect it, because you're too busy living your life.
Exactly.
And then they became a part of it. They,
yeah,
can only become a part of your life if you're actually living a life.
So let me ask you some advice, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I am, like, very high in my vibration, very, very high, and I have this man that I love so much, father of my children, wonderful guy, who's getting up there, but not so quickly, and he's a negative, mm-hmm, vibration, and so every time he walks in the room, I'm kind of like, bleh, here he is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when we're alone together and we're, like, just hanging out, everything's wonderful, perfect, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of his life just drags him down so much, and no one's going to teach him how to get out of that but himself. How do you nurture that growth without being angry?
Focusing on his positive traits, and every time he does something positive, celebrate it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're amazing. I love you. You're amazing. Seriously,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, I was like, my friend asked me that the other day, where he's talking about spirituality and religion. What's the difference between spirituality and religion? And the first thing that came out of my mouth was prejudiced. Because,
mm-hmm,
if you look at people who are religious, I was telling them the idea of a situation, prejudice. What is prejudice? It's something you're fearful of. So therefore, if you're fearful of your boyfriend because he has a negative situation, it's prejudice.
And that's the thing that's so hard to get into people's minds, right? Because, you know, you've got those religious, like, people that think that there's a heaven and a hell, and if you do something wrong, you're going to hell. So how do you break through those people? I mean, you know?
Well, I have a tendency to look at them going, you know something? You keep talking about going to hell. But when I keep looking at you and see the reflection from you, you're living hell right now. Because the ideal, trying to convey to everybody else, and you're putting all the stress, and you put the weight on your world, on your shoulders, because you feel like you have to. And realistically, if I'm not mistaken, as you call it from your religion of Christianity, or as I call it, Jesus, a very spiritual person,
mm-hmm,
was a person that took a decision to take that weight upon his shoulders, which he already did. So therefore, the ideal of you putting the weight on your shoulder is almost like a lack of belief in what you were taught.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, what are you doing? And this one guy, he's a really nice guy. Don't get me wrong. They're really nice people. It's just their perceptions. I don't hate them. I just kind of get irritated because of the things they're doing. Like, the one guy's carrying a cross. He's carrying a cross on Sunday around town and handing out pamphlets. I'm sitting going, so I look at this one guy and I go, didn't Jesus carry the cross for us so we wouldn't have to? You know? And then my friend Heather, she kicks in and she goes, how do you do that? I said, do what? She goes, how do you think about those things? Right off the top of your head.
Because it's true. I mean, you know, Jesus and John Lennon
true,
and Mark. I mean, listen, let's put them all in perspective. This is my, like, kind of, like, almost tally list, as stupid as it sounds. There's Jesus, there's Gandhi, there's Martin Luther King, John Lennon. I would even go so far as to say Tupac. You know, all those people that have been taken from us way before they should have been because of their message of peace and freedom. I mean, Tupac was coming from a different sort of angle, but he still had the same message. And then you go walking
around. You sure he hasn't left? Because he's still recording albums.
Anyway. Oh my gosh, don't even start with me on that. No, like, I have a funny, like, you. Dave Chappelle did a YouTube of Tupac a long time ago, I think it was called. I don't know if you can play things on the air right now, but, like, it was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, references things that are happening in the present, and it's, like, Tupac rapping them. It's really funny. But you know, all those people have had, like, their imprint on civilization and the world and everything else. And, you know, Jesus was an amazing spiritual teacher, and I don't think anyone should. You know, I come across people that are fighting me about religion, and I say to them, I identify with every single one of the religions that are here now, Buddhism, Christianity.
Yeah, I was saying was, if you look at Jesus' life when he was here, he acknowledges the temple as his father's temple, but he doesn't acknowledge religions.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, and that's what people don't get. And, you know, it's okay. They're not quite there yet, and that's fine. What I always say to people who come at me with that argument is, I agree with you. I completely agree with you, but I call it source. And they're like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
And they don't get what source means, but they're like, all right, that's great.
Yeah, but see, the situation is like this. It's like people have a tendency to acknowledge in certain ways as much as people all, the reason they say you shouldn't judge is because everybody's on their path for a reason. And the idea of learning more things about themselves, so it's none of your business. So the situation of you calling it source is how you identify with God. So therefore, a person might use God. I use God, you know, in a situation like that. And it's amazing. I had a lady come to my shop, too, and she said, what are you, pagan or Christian? I said, why do I have to be either one of those to believe?
Yeah.
You're sitting there, you're making, it's like, okay, we should come to God and Jesus through Jesus, but it's also unconditional. But for some reason, with some of the Christians, you don't get the unconditional part. It's either you do this or you're going to hell. And I said,
yeah, and
why
that's
don't you
the
guys
thing.
Try,
it's, well, that's,
you know, try different touch. My thing is not to give them a different tactic. It's the idea of coming from a different perspective.
Well,
perception,
that's
which means the idea of love.
That's where the power struggle comes in, because they all want power over people. And I'm of the mindset that nobody has power over me but myself. And I'm connected to source or God or whatever you call it very intrinsically. But I still have power over myself. I have my own freedom, independent, or not even independent, but I have my own freedom that's not judged by someone else. I can do what I want. I can weave what I want. I can be what I want to be. And it's not judged by anybody. There's no hell. There's no hell. I don't think there is. I really don't. My grandfather once said to me, Tracy, if I ever die, just realize that hell is what we're living right now. This is hell.
So, yeah, so get saved because you don't want to continue to live this hell. I can deal with that one.
Like he's still alive and kicking. God bless him. But, you know, it's almost like that. Like, you know, what is there actually? Like, is anyone right? I mean, in every religion there's been a god or several gods, whether they depend on the stars or the moon or whatever they depend on. There's always been, like,
they have that one thing, too, where they were talking about that in the Bible it says, look to the heavens. It doesn't say look to heaven.
Yep.
It says look to the heavens for
the signs
and this and that. Plus, we also have a reference to that, too, if I'm not mistaken, that you should look to the heavens for signs. It's called Jesus' birth. Anyway, one thing I was talking about the other day on the show was, like, have you ever been to a church that actually explains what the gifts mean that were given to Jesus? Why were they so powerful? And
no.
I was sitting going over thinking, if I'm not mistaken, I think frankincense is actually one of the ingredients that you use to create a philosopher's stone, which actually having a philosopher's stone enables you to, the alchemist, to actually turn elements into gold. And I was looking at the situation in a little bit different manner and saying, you know, when you look at the situation of an alchemist, I actually have a book called The Alchemist Handbook, where it talks about more of a divine alchemy, where it's the idea of taking, or some people will call manipulating energy, and creating things as a manifestation.
Yeah,
it shows you how to work with energy. And I was sitting there talking about those things, and I just kind of dawned on me that I've never really had anybody give me any insights onto what those gifts were.
Oh my gosh, have you never manifested anything before?
Oh yeah, all the time. I'm just saying, that's kind of amazing that the churches are always emphasizing on how powerful the gifts are, but they never really go into the idea of what those gifts are all meant. Do you?
Yeah, of course I do.
Why don't you tell us all, if you don't mind?
The most important thing, I think, in before you even start to try to manifest anything, is to get yourself to a point in your life where you're grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Being grateful and loving is the most powerful emotion, the most blessed state you could be in. If you're grateful, and I don't mean you're pretending to be grateful. I mean you're really grateful inside your heart and soul for what
mm-hmm.
you have. Everything stems from there. So I have been very successful in manifesting money and abundance from my family. And it only comes from understanding the opposite of lack and how you deal with lack. So if you're born into a family that doesn't make a lot of money, and there's a rich person living next door to you, and you see them walking in every day or having their new cars, and you're going to feel kind of guilty that you don't have those things, and you're going to feel like sort of an animosity towards people for having something you don't. If you're
mm-hmm.
born in a poor family where you don't necessarily eat every day, obviously you're growing up understanding that lack and feeling lack. Getting over the fact that lack is something natural really transcends, like, and brings you up to a point where you can understand how abundance is actually our natural state. And the very first step of that is gratefulness. So if you can look around you in as detrimental of a spot as you are and see the things that you are grateful for and just be grateful for them, in small steps every day, and then start to envision yourself having wealth or having something else or going out and getting a manicure and not feeling guilty for it or going out and buying yourself a new pair of shoes and not feeling guilty for it or going out and getting yourself a new car and not feeling guilty for it or going out and buying yourself a prime rib steak for dinner
mm-hmm.
and not feeling guilty for it. When you start really visualizing those things like they're actually possible and not focusing on lack because you're better than lack, the human life is abundance as it is. So if you can really start taking your life or your philosophy and shifting it from like I don't deserve or people that have this are or, you know, those other sort of kind of tangents and
mm-hmm.
manifesting them into I deserve this. This is what my life is. I deserve to have that kind
mm-hmm.
of a thing will flow into you automatically. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying the idea of the information that I've always what I always wanted to do was the three gifts that Jesus received, what do they represent? Because everybody says they're great gifts. Yeah, a lot of people walking out, you got great gifts. Now, you can look at it, like you said, the manifestation part of the whole thing is, here's a person who was given gifts without even doing anything. They're just how things come to us. When no one's focusing on anything. Same thing with Joseph and Mary. I mean, here they are, instead of being in a situation where they're out in the cold, they're not really out in the cold. They actually have a roof over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like they were self-employed. So the idea of money was no issue either, because when he's standing in front of the innkeeper, he's telling the innkeeper, I will give you anything to give me a room in the freaking inn. And the reason he didn't give him a room in the inn, because there was no room. And everybody always looks at it prejudicially. That's what I'm talking about. Christians can interpret things in such a way, like there's prejudice here, and you can't come in the freaking inn. You've got to hang out in the freaking manger.
Yeah, but there's if you hang out in the manger, there's another 1,000 opportunities out there for you. That you didn't realize. Like,
oh,
I know. It's totally not a case of buying your way into anything. And you could even experience abundance and still not have it. It's just all what you do with it within your soul. Like, it's what you do. You could mm-hmm. experience abundance and donate every penny of it to homeless people. And granting them their wish that they have a meal to eat or they have a warm place to stay, whatever you choose to do, that's your abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, I understand. No, I appreciate that, because I was sitting there telling people too that I have a tendency, my friends are freaking out because I'm always giving and giving and giving. But as you also notice that there's also a continuous circle of blessings, or I call it the infinity, where the way energy circles like that in a figure eight between two people or situations
yep.
and stuff. Especially things you're very passionate about, that I give things away all the time. But at the same time, as you give, you have to also open yourself to receiving. I get a lot
yeah.
of things in return, too, as well. I mean, right now,
yep.
my shop, my rent's paid up until August 1st. So I'm always working on ways to get my... I'm just working constantly on putting myself in a position where I can actually, when someone says I need something, I just hand it to them. By taking care of my life and you know, and seriously, when you look at the situation, people go, well, hey, you give all the time. Yeah, but see, your perception says that because of the lack of what you don't do. So therefore, you should look at the situation like you're giving too much. Why don't you sit and change that statement to say you haven't given enough today,
mm-hmm.
that you're seeing somebody else doing it too much. There was a girl who came in the shop, and I said, do you think there's anything wrong with giving? Do you think you give too much? She goes, there's no such thing as giving too much. I was like, oh, I love this girl. She got it, and she was only 20, okay? So the idea of maturity is the big thing, not the idea of her age. She gets it. She wants to give. She wants to do certain things. At the same time, she's also, sometimes she feels guilty in her own life because she's experiencing it to the fullest. But
yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. you don't necessarily always have to give, because taking sometimes allows you to give more. So I want to stress the point that fiduciary measures don't always mean that you have to give it all away. Sometimes you should take it all and then give it back in other ways, like community service or volunteering, or, you know, maybe you donate something here and there. But if you're whole in your life and you're comfortable and you're happy, then you can give in many other ways. So the universe always gives back to you what you ask from it. And it's almost like a never-ending cycle. I want to ask you, have you ever heard of the Fibonacci sequence?
I think I have.
This is something I've mentioned quite a few times, and nobody really knows what it is. It's like did you ever see the movie Thrive?
I guess it's another thing I've never watched.
You would know. But write this down to
yeah.
watch, because the movie Thrive basically stresses the energy fields that rule the world. So, you know, everything in this world has this certain sequence of energy. It's the same exact sequence over and over. It's almost like...
Is that the one they're talking about, the planet also has an aura of its own?
Sort of. It's almost like a pendulum. Not a pendulum,
mm-hmm.
but it's a sand time. You know what I mean? When you have the,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're playing categories and you've got the sand time going down.
Mm-hmm.
Picture that little sand, like, castle sort of a thing. But, like, the energy moves around it and comes back down. It's ever flowing. So that's what Thrive is about, is that, like, the energy, like, you know, you drain the sand, but it comes back up and around and comes down again. And it's in every living thing. They've proven it to be true by science, which is something we don't necessarily like to refer to. But
Scientists right now, there's a lot of scientists that have actually confirmed a lot of things for people too, and the idea how things are working. I think right now we're up in medical, we're actually up to where people have actually acknowledged that almost 85% of physical ailments are caused by some kind of emotional blockage or emotional thing which creates a physical ailment within someone's body. As soon as they get to the 100%, at least they're at 85 right now, so I can deal with that. But
oh my gosh.
Crazy.
All right, so let me tell you something right now. I am in, I'm on Long Island in New York City, well, sort of like maybe 20 miles outside, and tonight was the one night we could see the Northern Lights from where we are, and I'm seeing them right now sitting on my outside porch. Green
now,
and
you know,
blue.
The Northern Lights, aren't they also the same thing as in,
Aurora Borealis?
Yeah, but they also have the situation how the body, how the planet actually has a tendency to radiate micro energy, and the ideal of certain things that it's actually generated from the center of the Earth, which is actually been said it's in two forms. One they think is actually a solid nickel, and then the other one rotates with that one in the opposite direction, which creates this field within our, which creates this field, which we call the atmosphere. And everything else goes to microwaves and all these other things, and the northern the points the magnetic part, which also protects us from cosmic energy.
Well, I'm sitting here right now looking at these green and blue lights in my backyard, which is so strange. God, I feel blessed
really?
Right now.
Can you imagine people back in the old times when they would have saw these, where they would have thought that something's coming to get them, maybe in some sense or some kind of. You know, like back in the 30s when we had the World of Worlds and people tuned into a broadcast, they took a show as in real. It was actually a farmer who said he blew a hole in the side of his water tower because he thought it was aliens on those legs. And actually in the book it talks about the Martians came here. They wasn't exactly on real, as we call mechanical legs. They were actually made of light.
That's happening right now because I'm looking at the most amazing display of blue and green that I can't even believe I'm looking at this. Normally you have to go to the North Pole to look at this stuff, and I'm sitting here on Long Island in my backyard looking at this beautiful display of light. It is absolutely beautiful and amazing. I can't even describe it to you. Oh my gosh. Mm. Wow, I'm blessed. Okay, moving on. So, thanks for having me, by the way.
Oh, no problem. I'm sitting here trying to... This kind of sucks.
What?
No, I accidentally canceled out my switchboard. I got to get it back up.
Oh.
But there was some people talking about some things, and I said, don't worry about it. I have intentions of getting people, and I saw that there was a area code 905 in the room. So it's one of those situations that people have to sit there and take a little deep breath and go, okay, hold on. Because it's not like we're not getting to you. It's the ideal that I think this is how I look at this situation, the show. If you don't get on the show, but you're in the queue the whole show, you will get on unless you leave. Because I've actually stayed almost an hour after the show is over with to answer everybody's questions. I've actually called people back when I didn't get to them. So to sit there and say, I won't get to you, that's your own fear that I won't. And if you don't quit pushing that situation, you're going to manifest that into reality. And it's kind of crazy how, as we look at life itself, even the situation of this two-hour show, you can look at people and how they do that. And they're actually an example to themselves. They would just sit there and learn from their own reflections on themselves, the fears and stuff that they're actually letting dictate their lives. How can we get them to look?
I would really love to have you on my show.
You have a show?
Yeah. Would you come on my show for like 2 hours and chat with us?
Sure. What's your show?
Well, I'm not doing a plug, but Synergistic Evolution, Thursday nights at 9 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have you on maybe next week, Thursday.
Why don't you just do me a favor and give me a prompting? Because, I mean, I don't want to see. I have a show on Thursday night, too.
Oh,
but. Like, listen, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I can't cancel a show to be on someone else's show and do the same thing I'm doing now. Just give
me
another audience.
Let me give you my email address real quick.
Could you, are you in the chat room?
No.
Oh. Well, I guess I could always, okay, I don't have anything to write with. So I can go, but I can go back in the archives and get that. I'll go to Simone's show again, but. Yeah, been, and you know something's kind of funny. You look at the situation, I've been trying to get a prompting for myself to go back in those archives and check those shows out to actually write a book on relationships and that kind of stuff. So just looking at the idea, if I go back in the archives, it's just motivation to go over certain things and that kind of stuff again anyway. Because I've been pushed and I just finally got to give in to the whole thing and just write the book. My problem is I don't like the mechanical part about it, the whole thing of writing and typing and all that kind of good stuff. I had a friend of mine doing it for me, but she has a tendency to put her own passions in my freaking writing. So I said,
yeah,
no, you should be dedicated.
It's hard to
yeah.
do that. Do you have a pen and paper now?
Okay, hold on for a second. I'm gonna go. I have to go just for 2 seconds. I'm going to disappear for a second, but just stay right where you're at, okay?
Yep.
All right.
I'm taking over the show. It's mine. Just kidding. Anyway, if you guys are in New York and you want to look at Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, it's in full stream right now. I'm in Huntington, which is the North Shore, sort of on the border of Nassau and Suffolk counties.
So you're still talking to me, huh?
No, I was talking to your listeners so they weren't bored.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just got to go downstairs and get my dinner. One thing about having mobile stuff, I can do that right now.
You can eat now, too? Goodness.
No, I just haven't eaten. I got home and I got home too late to really do anything before I could actually do the show. So I was like, oh, my gosh.
So where are you, actually?
Where am I? Oh, what state am I living in?
Yeah.
Up until I moved out of Ohio, state of confusion.
Ohio.
But now I don't live in Ohio anymore. I live in Colorado.
So where am I?
Where are you?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. What'd you say you was?
Guess.
No, you say you watch the Northern Lights.
Yeah, so guess.
That's a part of New York.
Long Island.
See, I knew it was in New York somewhere. And I knew you told me, too. I was like, damn, I can't remember. I was confused. You asked me, too, quickly.
It's okay.
Hello.
Okay, hold on. Everybody hold on for 1 second.
Or you'll pass out.
I'm actually right in the middle of doing a radio show. Here you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You have a good one.
It's so funny.
What?
It's so funny.
Yeah, we're multitasking.
I like it. It's good. It's good.
So I was sitting there going on the whole thing myself and going, you know something, this is kind of like a wild thing and it's like the ideal situation. I think some people have a tendency to be too serious. And the ideal spirituality is to actually enjoy life more. So it's kind of a contradiction.
Not really. I think you should enjoy the people that just walked in. Drunk.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Oh, we do. We give them a lot of stuff to think about. We got a taxi one night. I was invited out by a girl. And basically, that's what we did at the bar.
Oh, that's
good. Sitting there talking to people. Philosophy. The whole thing.
I don't know. Every time I go out anywhere, my deal is like I talk to everybody about everything. Like, you can't not talk to that many people. I want to talk to every single person that crosses my path. Either they're
mm-hmm.
shy. If they're shy, I don't care. I just want to, like, say, hey, nice to meet
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
what's your deal? Like, I want to talk to everyone. Do you have a pen and paper now? No?
No. Okay. No, I didn't take the elevator this time. I took the freaking stairs. And
to where?
Well, I live in a 3-story building.
Oh,
well,
God.
4-story. So, it's one of the oldest buildings in Manitou Springs. So, what's your address?
Do you want my address or my number?
Oh, your number. Okay, whatever. What you were going to give me.
My number is 631. Oh, my email address, TDIAZ, @.
Try it one more time, that first part.
T as in Tracy, D as in David, A. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Stop the boat. T, I'm giving you the wrong email address. T.
Okay.
Diaz, D-I-A-Z, Diaz.
Okay, so it's T D
I A Z
I A Z
@.
Okay.
GGM
G
GGM.
Okay.
Email email.
Okay.
.com.
That's good, because I ran out of space.
Hold on one more time.
So, oh, no problem.
T Diaz.
So it's TDIAZ @ GGM.
GGM.
Email.
Nope. mail. Forget the E.
Oh, just mail?
Yeah.
So it's GGMMAIL?
Yep.
And it's .com?
Yep.
Okay, no problem.
Got that?
Mm-hmm, yeah. No, I was just going to go over some things, too, about people and their situations and stuff. Sometimes one of the things I'm telling people, I have a tendency to think about things and people and situations way after they've actually done readings with them. Even if I don't see them again. It's like I always get information anyway.
So what do you get from me? Do you get anything at all from me?
Nothing.
No? Nothing? Zero?
Actually, I was actually looking this thing up on Dr. Wayne Dreyer's talking about three levels. And I was trying to find them. I was reading them earlier. Plus, there was also a section in here talking about love itself.
It's really funny that nobody ever gets anything from me when I call them. No one.
Well, if you look at the situation, sweetie, too, if you're actually listening to your guide and doing exactly what you're supposed to do, following and promptings and all the whole thing, I mean, what more is there to tell you?
Yeah, I know. It's just really, it's really crazy.
I mean, what do you want me to do to confirm what you've already confirmed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I confirm it. Anyway. But it was like the situation is, it's not the idea like that. I just feel like that was the first thing that came to me in the first place. And saying, okay, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of preoccupied because I was sort of reading this thing. And it was like, I like these things because they give you some insights on things. Because one section of this book is talking about why resentments are there. And this is a chapter, there are no justified resentments. Any kind of resentment is just an excuse not to look at yourself. It's also an excuse to get mad. Or
yep.
The excuse to feed back into what you were getting low. You're feeding back into low energies. You know, it's like you're basically what you're saying is you're telling people, I have the right to be angry. I have the right to have the right to hurt, be depressed, sad, be resentful. When it's saying that there is no such thing as any justifiable resentment, that means you're not looking in yourself. Anytime you're filled with resentment, you're turning the controls of your emotional life over to others to manipulate you. So But you're saying you think you're justifying the ideal of being angry with that person when actually they just pushed your button and
yep.
they're feeding off of it.
Yep.
So it's like trying to tell people, say, you know, I have the right to be angry because this person did this to me. Yeah, but the only reason that person did that to you is because you didn't listen to yourself, so therefore you allowed it. Argue with that one. Somebody will. Okay, it talks
Thanks
about
for having me on, doll.
No, no problem. I was sitting there going over this thing where it talks about consciousness. There's like,
yeah.
There are, I'm trying to figure this out. There are three levels of consciousness, okay? The first level of consciousness is ego consciousness. In the ego consciousness, you primarily emphasize on your personality and your body. So you're always focusing on those two, emphasizing that you have to do, because that's what we call self-centeredness. And what it's doing in a situation, focusing too much on personality, if that's the ego. And your body, you notice you're taking spirit out, which you've also distanced yourself from your connection to God. So you have this exceptional, strong belief in your separateness. Like people talk about the idea, I love being single. Bullshit. Single means to be separate from the whole. And the ideal, that's a contradiction. You cannot be separate from the whole because you've always been a part of the whole. Okay? You're a part of the human race, no matter if you like it or not. And every time you sit here and focus on these other things, all it does is create a separation between you and God. So therefore, you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in yourself. So it's creating a constant ripple right there. And then the ideal of the situation is just like, if you have more than others, this is the thing it's talking about. The ego part talks about everybody else. I have to be in competition. I have to have more than you do. I have to do this, this, and this, and this. I have to be better. I have to win at everything. I have to have all the awards to prove to you that I'm worthy. When realistically within yourself, you know for a fact it's a lack of faith in yourself. But you're trying to do all these things to justify it and compensate for the things that you're not doing for yourself. So you're caught up in ego. Then the second level is a group consciousness, where you take that ego of yours, and you take that from that and go into a group consciousness, which is similar to the ego consciousness, with the exception that you move past yourself as the center focus of your life, and you now include others who are members of your tribe or your clan. We don't realize the ideal of it. Military, things like that, these are things that we've created to justify those things. Those are groups. So it's like your membership is based upon your family, your heritage, your racial background, your religion, your language, your politics, affiliations, and so on. You're required to think and act like the group. If you don't think like the group, then you're basically expelled. So you have a tendency to feed into the fear that I have to continuously keep going with the group. So now you've taken your ego and expanded it to a bunch of other egotistic people in a group. So you go to war. So what you're doing is you're calling yourself a patriot and patriotism, but you're just looking for an excuse why it's justifiable to kill other human beings. All the difference between the two is their perceptions and what they believe in, and you're actually killing each other because of those perceptions, not because they've really done anything wrong, just because of who they are. And we can sit here and say what we want to. It's kind of crazy that Dr. Wayne Dyer actually wrote this in this book. I think that, to me, I think it takes a lot to sit here. So this is what a group consciousness is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it also talks about the ideal of how people do that, as in wars, brutality, religions, religious persecutions, and the ideal that these are just ways of doing that. They've been doing it for thousands of years to actually justify their actions. When realistically, it's one of those things where they've gone into the ideal of being in a group to determine who they are. But all they've actually done is given more power over to these situations and the ego to tell you such lies that you've actually put yourself in situations where, like I say, if you're against war, a person comes along with a different perception, and you use that to go against your own faith, your own beliefs. That's what we saw with how bad and how terrible to do is when the ego is basically in the driver's seat. You do things and stuff like that to people. I was saying, we started talking about this too the other day. I said, it's kind of funny that you don't hear this in the situation of Jesus or not like that, of ego. You just see a person who came here to do one thing, did it because of love, to actually sit there and put people in a situation where they could also do the same thing. unconditionally love. So you look at these other things too, and you never see all this stuff. He doesn't. Jesus doesn't claim to be anything because he knows who he is. He doesn't have to do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they would have left those freaking books in the Bible that basically kind of outline his life as he's growing up to show that we do go from one perception, we evolve, and you'll see where Jesus went through stuff that got him to the point where we see him at. To help other people realize there is a progression, and life is progression. And he also came here on this planet as a human. Yes, of course, his birth was different, but he was still raised by humans. He was still raised by a father and a mother. He had a brother. He had all these things in hand. So if you're out there justifying that your actions are, you have the right to do what you want, you're justifying your actions because of the family you had, I think that's another thing, too, the story tells you, too, that he was raised by certain things. He had influences from other people and that kind of stuff like that. But in the process of him solely believing in himself, and also the idea of the connection he had with God and the idea of who he was, and we could also say he was God in human form, but
he was one of the best spiritual teachers to ever grace the face of the earth, for sure.
Oh yeah, because let's sort of look at the situation when it talks about the idea he was the son of God. He's this and he's that. But you should just sort of look what he says. He accepted himself for who he was and the connection. And if he was God in human form, aren't we all? And that's some of the things you don't hear.
Yeah.
That we're unworthy. We're not deserving. And it's kind of funny, too, because it's like, I told this one guy and this lady, I was like, are we reading from the same Bible? I don't see in the Bible where it says lack of imitation.
I saw, I don't know if you've seen this, but I saw a YouTube video, like a Christianity versus, I don't even know what it was called, actually, but the guy was like, well, Christianity means, and it was this one man, like, kind of rapping in front of the church.
Okay.
And it was ridiculously awesome, because, why religion is not Christianity, because he went on to say that religion is boundaries, religion is force, religion is blah, but Jesus did this, and Jesus gave us life, and Jesus set us free, and Jesus gave us this message, and it was so amazingly wonderful for me, even though I'm not a Christian, and I'm not a Buddhist, and you know, I don't encompass those things. I encompass different facets of those things throughout my life.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you listen to everything and anything. And I saw this with George Washington. George Washington was such a great leader, they always said, because of how he could take all the, he would get advice even from, he would get advice when he was in war. He would get advice from even the lowest of military, the soldiers and everybody. He would actually ask everybody and what they thought. So he took in opinions of everybody. And he would take all that and all the things he learned to make a decision. And he always said that in the process of making a decision, everybody does contribute to it, but should also not feel that they were never considered just because they didn't go with their particular ideals, a bunch of ideals put together to actually come out with one that actually worked. And if you notice some of the things that he did, you can see that reflecting within the situation as a whole, but still being a singular, as in making the proper decision, but singular itself. I'm just saying he took that leadership role, but he also got that leadership role, too, because people trusted him. There had to be a lot of trust in the whole situation of not just not the trust they had within him, but also the trust they had within themselves to actually do that. And it's the same thing with what I was talking about before about the ego. My biggest problem with some churches and that kind of stuff is the idea of how they have a tendency to focus on themselves. And at the same time, they're telling you that you can't get to heaven unless you go through Jesus. But it also talks about the idea of faith. Having faith of a mustard seed will get you there, too. So I'm having a tough time with a lot of those things. But I was also looking at the situation that when Jesus came and said, okay, what's the biggest commandment? What's the most important commandment? He never said not one thing off the Ten Commandments. All he said was, love is the key. Love is the most important thing to do.
Love is everything.
Love is everything. So when you sit and look at the situation, I started thinking about it and saying, you know something? If we loved ourselves and everything and everyone unconditionally,
do we realize we would never break the Ten Commandments? Because we would always have that consideration within ourselves, that love we have for another human being, that we would never do those things. So the person who doesn't want to go to war, who wants to look at things in a peaceful way, and even do that in a peaceful way too as well, not having a war rally, but doing peaceful ways, you always seem to have that, they seem to reflect what they're trying to do. They have a sense of peace within themselves.
So do you think that the path we're going on right now, do you think love is basically the end? Or do you think we're going to have to go through some peril to get there?
No, I think we've already had no perils. I think it's just one of those things people have to accept it, you know. I mean, right now we've got a lot of comfort. See, the one thing about the news we have to take in consideration, too, is it's also drama and dramatized.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hearing about any kind of things that happen out there, the one thing I was noticing with the situation, the walking on water, was showing a person that one thing he didn't think he had power over, as Peter, actually walked on the water. So you look at the situation of all those things in the Bible and use those as examples, even war or the threat of or a crazy country or that kind of thing, it still says that our thoughts and our focus and our positive thinking and energy, that kind of stuff, can also turn those around too as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show for so long, and I love you. You're wonderful. You have my email. Let's talk. Thanks.
Yeah,
this has been amazing.
I would love to be on your show, too. So Thursday
I hope
it
so.
Is.
I hope you can be there Thursday. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Good
yeah,
stuff.
Just let me know.
Definitely. Thanks, dude.
I'll email you. Okay?
All right, cool.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye, hon.
You have a good night. Thank you for
you
being
too.
Here, too, okay?
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Hey, let's go to area code 905. Area code 905, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. What's going on?
That is a good question. What is going on?
Huh.
What is not going on, you know?
Well, I was wanting to talk to Tracy. He has a lot to share. Yeah, no kidding. I'm trying to find her here on Facebook, and I can't find her. And I can't even find her website.
Yeah, she did.
Hmm?
Yeah, I guess she gave me the thing, if I'm mistaken, it says tdiaz@ggmmail.com.
Well, that's her email.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all good. It's Synergistics Evolution.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on, Don?
I've talked to you before.
Hmm?
So I've talked to you before.
Yes.
What's your name?
A little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
The energy shift day to day. And the energy is huge now. Right? A lot more than a couple of weeks ago or even last month or a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you feeling with them? What's going on?
Well, I've noticed a lot of shifting at the shop and everything, people and their perceptions and what's going on there.
That's very interesting. You know, as
some people have low energy too.
Hmm?
That one kind of baffled me, the idea of lower energies. People are going through, I don't know, I guess you could try to come up with a different word, gloomy. People having a tough time letting go of a lot of things that they know they should let go of and trying to justify it, too, at the same time.
Right.
There's a mixture.
Agreed. Agreed. Uh-huh. And
let me ask you a question. What's your first name?
My first name is Dennis.
Okay. Because I was like, all these names are racking through my freaking head. I'm like, oh, I hate this one. I go blank, and then all of a sudden I get a bunch of Rolex, like a Rolodex going through my head with names and stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm Dennis. I'm still the Dennis.
Great.
Well,
yeah,
no,
the interviews are kind of crazy, but I don't know if that's one of the things that's good for it. What's it good for?
Well, you know, the whole thing is, with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, you tell me your name, that's all well and good. You know, if I forget it, you know,
mm-hmm.
please excuse me if I don't remember at the time, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got a lot of stuff, you know, I'm going through. Transitioning through. But yeah, for sure.
It's like a swim, yeah.
Hmm?
Oh, no, with the energy. It's like another year of things that you haven't cleared out to get rid of.
Oh, people are shitting tons of stuff right now. Tons.
I think they should have done it last year instead of worrying about the end of the world.
That was a joke. Anyway.
I know. People call me up all the time. So what's going to happen on, you know, December, whatever? And I said, this is what's going to happen. Don't worry about that day. It's the day afterwards when you guys are, you have to all deal with all those hangovers because of the world didn't end.
That was a big joke. Right, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. Right, you know.
Well, I think it was. I think the Mayas said there was going to be a shift and a change, but they never mentioned anything in there about the world coming to an end.
Of course not. This is a shift.
Get a hold of it. It was like when the twin towers collapsed and the whole thing, and someone said that Nostradamus said something about that. But then when they did the research on the whole thing, they found out if that was the case. It was written way after his death, where he couldn't have done it.
Now, see, the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing with 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, this is just, you know, my perspective. It wasn't a physical thing, per se. Right? There's a lot of physical occurrences, right? But for the most part, it's our human consciousness that has shifted and moved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either you get on the subway, or you're standing on the platform. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You get on the roller coaster, or you're waiting in line. Right? Basically.
Right.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, whatever that was, man, you know, you miss the bus, you catch the next one, because another one will be coming, right? Pretty simple, straight up. Right?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing is like that, because it's like how you deal with those situations. You can either sit there and get very pissed off and violent about the whole thing, or else you can just sit there and accept it for what it is, and like you said, wait for the next bus.
Yeah, we're not going to get all on the same bus all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And even we do, that's how you deal with that, too. Got to sit next to some guy who's maybe has that racist armpits. Just get you a nice plug for your nose and just keep going. Or else you can sit there and bitch about the whole thing and make it a miserable experience.
No kidding, man. You know, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that don't even know where to find the bus.
Right? That's true. No. I can't argue with that one. Yeah.
You know, it's like, what, I got to go find some bus somewhere? No, I got to pay my bills. You know, I got car insurance. You know?
Like, yeah, that's what was there. Yeah, so that thing that I was talking about when I started focusing on Dr. Wayne Dyer said everybody needs to learn how to separate themselves from what's going on in their life right now so they can actually take the time to focus on how are you going to change it instead of using those excuses why you can't.
Yeah, no kidding, man. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you one thing straight up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This has been coming up a lot lately. It's like, you know what? you know, I'm, you know, if you have something to ask me or whatnot, all right, I'm sure
mm-hmm.
ask and I'll offer. I'm not one to tell and push on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, I'll share an offer, all right? But, you know, don't expect me to come to your pity party. Okay? Because, you know what? You reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Drip.
That's right.
Simple stuff, man. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's simple stuff. And I've been, you know, I've been witnessing, observing a lot of people going through shedding of their past, dealing with it. Some are still holding on to it, which is holding them back. That's fine. That's up to you. I am no one to say that you should be doing this or this or that, right? I will mention that maybe you might look at it this way, or maybe you might look at it that way, right? But I'm not going to tell you nothing, because it's your life, not mine, right? Because, you know, the last thing I want to be doing is being drawn into your energy, right? You know,
right.
You know, and again, it's difficult for a lot of people right now. It is,
right?
And right now, universe, okay, source, universe. Is really bring upon us the changes that are really required, right? You know, with the sheddings and this, that, the other thing, for us to move forward into this next quote unquote space that we're evolving into, right? As it's very quite interesting to witness,
right?
You know, I've been seeing this comment for like years, decades,
right?
Now it's upon us, right? So you know, people are going to run, you know, run like, you know, when you turn on the lights and the cockroaches all run away from the light, you know, to hide.
Okay.
Oh, man. Can't do it no more. Can't. Right? Done.
Mm-hmm.
Finished. Anyway, that was my little rant.
It's one of those things, you know. People will get it.
They'll get it in their own time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm no one to say. I'm just here to share an offer. That's all I do.
Yeah.
You know. We all.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It's not the time.
And it's and only done. It's not easy for me. This is personal from me to you, and this is going into the archive, of course. It's not easy for me at times to see and witness the ones that are like little cockroaches and running from the light, because basically, you know, that's an analogy.
Right.
And what am I going to do? I'm going to put a newspaper and try to guide them into a box or something. They don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, so let them go.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Hmm?
Yeah, you let them go. Whatever's supposed to happen will happen.
Yeah, whatever happened is going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to either get stepped on or get hit by pesticides. Or they'll make it outside and start living life.
Right.
Start realizing they've been living the confines of the house. And that's what they thought life was all about. And then they finally get outside. Sure, they went through a bunch of peril to get there, but once they get outside, I think they appreciate it more, too.
Right. I like
the
that.
The world opens up to them. Yeah.
Right. I like that.
Hey, you know, I can't do like those. Some people do those stupid negative cartoons where they got the guy who goes through all this, the roach goes through all those things, gets outside and goes, wow, this is amazing. And a car runs over him. We're not going to do that. That's somebody else's cynical problem with the way they look at the world, too, that they don't think that they're going to get to experience life. They think they'll get there, but that's their own limitations being portrayed through the crazy cartoons. I look at the idea of a lady coming in the other day, was talking about, yes, the sky is the limit. And I said, there is no limit. The sky is a void. It continues on forever. So the possibilities are unlimited.
Right.
And she was like, huh, I like that better than mine. Well, yeah, because I just expanded your perception right there.
Yep.
So go with that one.
Yep. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, as human beings, we are here for such a minute period of time. Right? Minute. Our existence, our time span, if you want to call it, time span,
mm-hmm.
Existence is like a grain of sand within all the beaches of the world. Okay, it's so minute, little bit tiny, but yet we're a part of it all. When you get wrapped up in that little tiny speck. Wow, man, it's like, what's going on with that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can feel all the friction and turbulence all you want, or you can just flow with it and go with it, you know, and be that little grain of sand. And know that you're part of the ocean and the beaches and the earth, right? And the world, the planet, and the universe, right? You know?
Yeah.
It's up to you. It's not up to me. Whatever,
yeah,
man. You
I
know?
Guess we should never put, people put the responsibility on other people and saying it's your fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look at the situation, Sam. Everything you've ever done your whole life, good or bad, was your fault because you made a decision. But I just look at the situation. Okay, the good stuff was my fault too. I think I want to create more of that. Then do that. But you do have something to go by. I saw the other day someone was talking about a lot of people have a hard time having good relationships because they really don't have examples of that. I said, are you serious? There's a lot of examples out there, good relationships. We've seen them ourselves. We'll be walking in a party. You'll see a couple walk in. And they don't say a word to you. And you know by the way they present themselves that they're in a great relationship. I've heard people do that. Well, you can tell they're in a great relationship. Look at them. Just the way they interact with each other. It's so like they both have individualities. You know who she is. You know who he is. But you also know as a couple, too, as well.
Right.
And they have a great foundation because they both have foundations within themselves first.
Right.
Foremost, and then they resonate.
Right.
So if someone sits there and says we don't have good examples, if the person needs an example or a boot to the ass.
When you mention that, and that's so funny. Well, not funny in a funny way. Where I have a friend, and we'll go out shopping or we'll go out to dinner or whatever like that together. We're friends. and the people around us think that we're married. Like that we've spent decades together. But we're just friends. And we know each other, you know. We respect each other, you know. We're honest with each other, you know.
That's what you say marriage is supposed to be like, right?
Well, yeah, well, that's the way marriage is supposed to be like, I would imagine. We haven't had that.
They argue like
marriage
anymore. Yeah.
Donnie, man, I've been married twice, man. Right?
Mm.
And twice I got burned. Right? You know. And my friend has got burned. Right? We have a relationship where that it's open and honest. Right? It's
right.
You know, there are no lies. There's no, this is one big thing, right? One big thing. Even with the dudes that I work at, you know, with whom I work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Know me, right? I'm real. I'm straight up, right? You know,
right?
I don't put up facades, right? I don't make something of myself that I'm really not. No, I'm straight up. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you do that, people might not like it. A lot of people don't like the way I reflect on them, right? Because we are mirrors of others, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people won't come up to me and ask me anything because they know what they're going to get. They're going to get exactly what who they are, right? Because if you know me as you do, you know, I can kind of like pick up and see people's energies, right? And I'll give it straight back at them, right? I'm not going to lie to you. Lying.
Oh, no, I do it myself.
Hmm?
Oh, I say I do it myself. Pretty much the same way.
Yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when people come up to me, they know that they're going to get a perspective that... That is true, honest, straight up, and forward. Right? Being real. Right? You know, see, this is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't play games. Right? You know, I'm tired of playing games.
Yeah.
You know.
So some people don't realize when you sit there and not being honest with yourself, you're just playing games with yourself, so you can only play games with other people.
Oh, yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. This is the whole thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to look within yourself and work within yourself and know source within yourself. Right?
All
do that. You know, to have a relationship with another person, you know, and you don't even know your own self within, who are you kidding? You know? Are you kidding?
It's like walking. Yeah, it's like walking into a dark room without a flashlight, and you get pissed off because you ran into something.
Yeah, you know, it's like yeah, and you're gonna get pissed off with that thing that you just ran into? I don't think so.
And you'll get mad at it for being there when it was your fault.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. People. You know, I did a show, Blame Game. Right? You know, people don't want to look within themselves because they don't want to see. They don't want to work within themselves. It's easier for them to look outside of themselves. Right? Because they don't want to have to do that work within.
Well, I know.
You know? No, it's... it's frustrating, but I can't let that bother me. Right?
No.
Because I got my own stuff. Right?
Exactly.
You know?
So it's good to cross people's paths and converse and help each other in those situations, but if you're focusing on somebody trying to figure them out, that's not a part of your life.
No.
You're taking time away from what you should be doing with yourself, with the reflection
that was
casted back at you.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that are draining, they call them energy vampires, whatever like that, usurpers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm one quick to close that door real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. What are you doing? Right?
Yeah, you got to.
And, yeah. And I say, well, I got other stuff to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need some help with this and I need some help with that. And it's like, well, I just mentioned a few things, but then you keep on sticking on me.
Right.
Why don't you look within yourself already? And we'll come back and talk. Right? Because otherwise,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to keep beating you. Right? Because I got other, I have other things to do. Because, when I mention something to you, I offer this to you, right, and suggest
mm-hmm.
this to you, and you're not taking any of it up, right? There's no action,
right?
It's like, you want me to continue beating you? I don't think so. So I'm going to move on. Simple. And you look at me, what? I say, give your head a shake, man. No, really.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. Simple fucking shit, man. And
yeah,
you look
yeah.
at me. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Say, well, fuck. Why don't you fucking step back and fucking take a look at your life? Right? I try to help. And you keep on freaking drain. Do something on your own.
Cow. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's funny, crazy shit.
It's like look at people, too, who sit here and say, you don't spend no time with me and that kind of stuff like that either. But if they would sit here and do the work on themselves, you guys would be on the same wavelength, same page, more likely to be spending more time together, too. So it's a woman's thing that someone's focusing on the negative traits again. Focus on the negative traits. I'm like, if you keep focusing on negative, you're going to get more negative.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, it's like, people sort of take the example and go, okay, you have a best friend that you tell everything to, you have a great time with that person. Why can't you do that with your spouse? And people think it's two separate things. And realistically, most women I know of, that's the very first thing on the top of their list in a relationship. And why are they denying that whole thing? It's almost like they're scared to death of learning something about themselves is why, I think. So we can change the whole format. Everybody keeps saying, well, you make it sound so easy. Well, because it is. You're the one sitting there looking at all the freaking negative things that could keep you from actually obtaining your goal. So you have to give up one for the other. So which one do you want?
Right.
Holy cow.
It's very interesting because people don't want to do the work on their own within themselves. They want somebody else to save them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they almost realize we're just here to give them the information and the how they got to do the do.
Yeah, exactly. Good words.
Yeah, so do it. My friend says it all the time. I know. I said, once you got I know, and rename it, I did.
Right.
Since you keep telling me you already know, why are you not following through?
Right. Why are you asking me again? You know?
Yeah, we're asking me, are you sure this is the right way to go? Obviously, you do. Yeah, obviously, you know it's the right way to go. That's why you're still questioning, because you're still questioning yourself. Can I do it?
Yep.
I want you to do it. Come back later, and we'll have a nice talk about it.
This is self-doubt, right? And they want reassurance that there's some, you know, that they're going on the right path. But, you know, at the same time, when they do this, when they're not doing anything on their own, they're looking for affirmation or for they're looking for this is hilarious.
I know.
What they're looking for is saying, "Oh, it's okay. You didn't do it this week. You'll do it next week," or whatever, you know? And it's like, own up to your fucking actions, man. You know? It's like, say to your buddy, "Hey, I didn't do it this week. I'm not going to ask you what to do this week," because they already know. They don't do that. They say, they continue to say, "What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?" They already fucking know. Right?
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, we want you to come back. We want to have a conversation.
Himself, man.
Yeah.
Driving up the wall.
You got to go to work. You got to go to work so we can actually, next time you come back, you do the work and that kind of stuff, you can come back. We can actually have a conversation.
Right.
About 20 questions.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And then you know why that conversation, if you're going in the right direction or not. More likely, if we're actually talking, it's pretty much a confirmation that you are. How many people are actually going to take that step to get that far?
Yeah. Yeah, see, the guys at work know me. Sorry?
Uh-huh. I'm not just saying with the situation. We're asking people, and they all want to have this conversation. They want to talk to us. And I'm like, okay, fine, talk to us, but all I keep hearing is more questions. That's not conversation. That's like,
yeah.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Right. It's like you're on a treadmill, and you keep running on the treadmill. Got these questions. It's like, you're not doing nothing. Do something.
Yeah.
Step off the treadmill and actually do something. And so that's
yeah,
a good message to your buddy. And say, "Hey, this is what I did." And then your buddy will say, you know, "Hey, good for you. Move on."
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, it's fucking nuts, man. Craziness. I find humans very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you know, it's not my first time around the block. and ones that think that it is for me, they find out real fast that, it's not my first time around the block. That's why a lot don't talk with me. But that's okay. Because they're on their path. Right? They're doing their thing.
Yeah.
Hmm?
No, I was saying that, yes. Sometimes people get irritated with you and they sit there and say, "Okay, how come you know I haven't done the work?" Because you have questions. I'm not saying everybody's going to learn it the first time, but at least if they've actually done the work and that kind of stuff, they'll have some questions, but they'll also have some realizations to share.
Yeah.
You're not doing.
Well, it's a process.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, this is the school of life.
Yeah.
We learn lessons. practically die until our human vessel expires. We're learning lessons. You know? Until our last breath, we're learning lessons. And we're sharing what we've learned with others. No, this is the whole thing. Never get frustrated with others.
Mm-hmm.
Never push on others, because no one wants to be pushed and pulled. See, for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right on?
Hello. Oh no, I said I agree.
Yeah, you know, like I'm here to share an offer. I'm not here to push and tell you nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share with you for sure. I'm here to share. That's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know?
Oh yeah, most definitely. It's a sharing kind of thing. That's what sharing is all about, really. It's this idea, you know.
Yeah. That's what it is. You know? Fuck. Like, fuck. We're only here, on average, I don't know what it is now these days, 80 to 100 years that we're on this planet as a human. Whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been around a lot longer in energy form than
oh yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, than this time, right? As I have been, and we're gonna continue, right?
That is true.
Right.
From one reincarnation to another.
Sorry?
From one incarnation to another.
Well, of course. You know, and, you know, I've got to mention this to you. I have many friends, with Eric, right, that have not had this opportunity to come into human form.
Mm-hmm.
And I share with them my human experience when I'm in dream time, per se, right? And we share and exchange a lot together. Right? You know, I understand and appreciate a lot of humans don't have that, how can I say, don't have that awareness, per se, where that they are